Seriously, it took a lot of Bible study, and it took some time. And we're so caught up in our traditions that we let it get away. And then as a result, we get notes in Bibles that provide for gymnastics in math, which are totally unnecessary. One fellow writes, if 3 days and three nights is taken to mean literally 72 hours, there would be an apparent contradiction with the over 11 prophecies and records to contend Christ would rise on the third day. Then they start talking about a part of a day is a whole day, and another day is another part of a day, and that's a whole day, and then you can count that. So they go from Friday to Sunday and magically come up with 3 days and three nights in the tomb. So I want to just walk through real quickly just some basic math and some Bible, because it's all there. If you haven't got a chart, I do have a chart, and I provided these, I think, last year, year before. So let's start with first, if Nisan 15 is the Passover, the beginning of Passover, and that's a day, right? Nisan 15, it's a Jewish date. And it is, if we go over to Leviticus, I got to just find my stuff. If we go over to Leviticus 23, these are the feasts that are talked about, and in particular the Feast of the Passover. So the Feast of the Passover, verse 6, so Leviticus 23:6, and on the 15th day of the same month, stop. The 15th day of the same month. Now, if Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, where will it fall next year? Monday. Because there's an odd number of days, 365 in a calendar. The same is true for the Jewish calendar. Nisan 15 is the beginning of Passover, and it can be on any day of the week. Okay? It could be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and unto the Lord 7 days must ye eat unleavened bread. In the first days you shall have an holy convocation. You'll do no servile work therein. What is a holy convocation? Sabbath. You will have a Sabbath. It's on the first day of the Passover. Does anybody have an issue with that? That's what it says. And so on and so forth. So, as we go forward, if the first day of the Passover is Wednesday, what is that going to be to the Jewish folks? Sabbath. Then Saturday, is there another Sabbath? Yes, that's the regular Sabbath. So in fact, in the days of Christ's crucifixion, there were two Sabbaths, one at the beginning of Passover, and then the weekly Sabbath. That's where the confusion is. And that's why you can't read the Bible like it's a Aesop fable or a Mother Goose tale. You have to read it and carefully, and you have to compare Scripture to Scripture. So that's number one. So Nisan 15 can fall on any day of the week, and it's a Sabbath. And then it doesn't matter what day it falls on, the weekly Sabbath never changes. It's always on Saturday. Now, you have heard some people in commentaries, they talk about, well, remember, the Jewish day starts at dusk. That's correct. And I'm going to explain why. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It is so easy. This is so easy. But our brains have to readjust ourselves so that we think They start at night. And that's hard. That's why I had to put it on a calendar. So I look at Genesis chapter 1, and I look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the dark, and the darkness he called night. Notice the words. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Why did God set it up that way? I don't know. But he started it. Okay? We got it all backwards. I can't help you there. So the evening is the beginning of the day. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So that pattern was established by God. Israel, Jews, follow that. And their day starts at dusk. So now you have to count days differently. So right now we'd be starting a new day. And we'd be starting Thursday right now. Got it? It's hard to wrap your mind around it, but that's all there's to it. Now, using that pattern, God established the Sabbath to celebrate and to remember creation. And he said, in 6 days, God created everything, and I want you to rest on the seventh day. That's God. He set it up. So when he tells the Israelites to celebrate the Sabbath, he lays out groundwork, and he tells them when to start celebrating. And the best place to look is Nehemiah for a discussion of that. Now, why Nehemiah? What did Nehemiah do? He built a wall where? Around Jerusalem. Why did he have to build a wall? Because they were all destroyed. Was anybody living in Jerusalem at the time? A couple people. But where were they prior to migrating back to Jerusalem? Babylonia. What was Babylonia doing with all those Israelites? Slaves. When you have a group of people that you've conquered back then, you take them as slaves. And as slaves, what did they want the Israelites to do? Adopt their customs. So it goes without saying the Israelites had forgotten how to be Israelites. And Nehemiah, in the last chapter, 13, it's an interesting little deal here. Verse 15. Nehemiah 13, 15. In those days, I saw Judah, some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading up their donkeys, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they had brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. I testified against them in the day wherein they sold the victuals. So what were they doing? They were violating the Sabbath. They didn't even know what the Sabbath was anymore because they were in Babylonian captivity and they had now returned to Jerusalem and they were building up the walls and they were going to live in Jerusalem, but they forgot what it was to be a Jew. So he goes on. And there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So Nehemiah reminds them that the Sabbath begins at dusk. I thought that was a pretty good place to look. So we know, we understand Israelites counted the days from dusk through dawn through dusk. That was a day and a night, and that's one day. They celebrated the Sabbath from dusk through dawn to dusk the next day. Everybody got that? That's why you read in the commentaries that that's how the Israelites counted days. They count days from night to morning, and then that's the day. It's not like us. We're Romanized, which, by the way, is what we are when we say Good Friday. Now we're Better Wednesday, okay? So the next step. So we know Nisan 15 can fall on any day. We know that the Israelites counted the days differently than us. So when we read commentary or when we read the scripture and they say things like 6 days and six nights, we know we got to start at dusk and go through the day. And that's one day. So the biggest problem that I have with all the discussion about Christ and the day that he was sacrificed is that Jesus himself said that he would be in the earth 3 days and three nights, just as who? Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Okay. Jonah, let's roll over there to the book of Jonah. Jonah, where are you? Where's that book? Right near Jonah, Obadiah. It's close. I got to keep flipping. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Got it. It's coming. Jonah, 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish, read it with me, 3 days and three nights. Are you confused on what that means? Anybody confused on 3 days and three nights? One, two, three, right? Okay. I got to just find my reference here. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Not hard to understand. One, two, three. Okay, now let's try this. This is going to be painful. You're going to have a problem with this. Jesus rose on what day of the week? Right, and we call it the first day of the week, right? Okay, he rose on Sunday by whose reckoning? And what day, what time approximately might that day start? Saturday evening, about 6-ish. Sunrise service, Easter morning. Wrong time. Saturday evening service, right time. That's the beginning of the first day of the week, Jewish reckoning. That's what it's written as. So Jesus rose the first day of the week, reckoned by the Israelites, Saturday night. That's painful, I know, very painful. Maybe. It's totally fine. It's still the first day of the week. We're on the right day celebrating. I don't mean to say we're not celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Perfect. Sunday morning. That's fine. I just want you to understand, he rose sometime after dusk Saturday. And the cool part is, do you remember what else happened on that time when Christ rose from the dead? There are other dead people rising up, and the graves were tossed up, and it was at night. So, cool, huh? Just going to say there's another, they've turned that into an evil holiday, and they've moved it to a different time frame. I'm saying it might have its roots there. I don't know. So, everybody clear? All right, now. Now, if I start, and I have to keep my calendar in front of me because it's my timeline, if Christ rose, and he did, on the first day of the week, Jewish reckoning, that would be a Saturday night. So, that's the third day, right? So now I got to go back, and I got to count. So, I've got to go back Friday, and I've got to go Friday morning to about dusk, back to Saturday or Thursday night. So that's one 24-hour period, right? And then, I'm sorry, I got to start on Saturday because I got to look at the calendar. So I'm on 6 p.m. Saturday. I'm going back to Friday 6 p.m. ish. That's 24 hours. That's one day, one night. Then I go back Friday 6 p.m. ish to Thursday, 6 p.m.-ish, that's 2 day and night. Now I go back Thursday, 6 p.m.-ish to Wednesday, 6 p.m.-ish, that's 3. So Christ was entombed on Wednesday around 6 p.m. at dusk. It does. And it's all scriptural. Now, here's the fun part. Now I've got this date set, and I'm thinking it's a Wednesday dusk. So Christ was crucified noon Wednesday. So now I got to think about it, and I go back in scripture, and I tracked him, Christ, as he traveled the last few days of his earthly life. And sure enough, in John 12:1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, and they made him a supper. Not the Last Supper, but a supper. So, 6 days before the Passover. And then the next day was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, John 12:12-19. On the next day. And I count from Friday, and I count 6 days, Jewish reckoning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Passover begins Thursday. Dusk. It works. I've aligned with scripture exactly. John 12:1. That's Friday. Nisan 9. Nisan 15, 6 p.m. Thursday. Friday night. Wednesday night. Is the Passover, which is a holy convocation. A Sabbath. Jesus crucified on the cross. What were they worried about? We got to get him buried before the Passover. Correct. Because the next day was Passover, or Sabbath, so it was Passover. So they had to get him in the grave. And then, down the road, we got Saturday coming, and that's the weekly Sabbath, where the ladies were headed to the grave following the Sabbath. What following what's it? Following the Sabbath. the one we just had, the Passover. So you've got to read these and you go through. So John 12:1 sets me 6 days out. The triumphal entry is on Nisan 10, which is Friday night, Saturday, day. And by the way, the triumphal entry, all the crowds, what? Donkey Day. What happens on that day, Nisan 10, for the Passover lamb? Exodus 12:3 says the lamb, the Passover lamb, is set apart. That's Christ's triumphal entry. You can't make this stuff up. It's awesome. In Mark 11:12, we have, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, that's the cursing of the fig tree. So that would be on Sunday morning, but Saturday night. And at evening, he left Bethany, Matthew 21:17. So he's leaving, and it's evening. And then Mark 11:20, and in the morning, when they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up. That would be Monday morning. They seen that the tree was all dried up, that he cursed the day before. It's chronological. And then, after 2 days, was the feast of the Passover, Mark 14:1. That is Tuesday morning, Monday night. And if I count, 1, 2, Nisan 15. You following? That's great. Scripture is so clear on this. So we see Christ moving, and the Gospels record the days, and you can track them back and place them on the calendar, the weekly calendar, and you can see this works only if Christ is crucified on Wednesday at noon. And it lines up with prophecy that says Christ is the Passover lamb, because the Passover lamb must be set aside, set apart, certain day, Nisan 10. The Passover lamb must be sacrificed at a certain time, Nisan 14, the end of the day. Does everybody understand this? Christ is the perfect sacrifice, and the picture of the Passover lamb is of him. He did these things that Scripture would be fulfilled. So it's better Wednesday. Good Friday. It's a nice Friday. It's an average Friday. Pretty decent. I don't know. So I really want to make sure that you got this. Now, the lamb was sacrificed at dusk. Christ was on the cross from 12 to 3, and then they wanted him off and buried him. That's the process of the sacrifice. And here's a fun tidbit. The lamb is to be sacrificed outside the gates, Deuteronomy 16:5, outside the gates, Golgotha. Christ was sacrificed outside the gates. So this is undeniable. There's no dispute on the proper use of the Hebrew for day and night. It's funny, the creationists go over to Genesis 1 and they say, see, it says evening and day, day one. Evening and day, day two. There's absolutely no way that you could interpret that language as anything other than a 24-hour period supporting creation in 6 days. Then the same creationists, unfortunately, go over here and say 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. He didn't really mean 3 days and three nights, but the same words are used in the Greek equivalent as used in Genesis. So they give up all of creation with this hogwash of partial days, hours. It's 3 days and three nights. And if they would just track it through, and these are brilliant people, and they just, I'm not a brilliant guy, and I can read and I can write this out and put it on here. And each year I add a little bit more because there's more evidence that shows it only works if it's Wednesday, the 6 days, the next day, the following morning, 2 days prior. It's all lays out perfectly if Christ is crucified on Wednesday. And he was, because he rose. This is the killer. He rose Saturday at dusk because that's when the new day started. That is the first day of the week. So if you want to have more fun, I went through every verse that says third day. There's only one that's kind of funky. Luke 24:21. Today is the third day since these things. The guy's walking on the road to Emmaus, or whatever that word is. Right? They're walking, and this is the third day since. They're talking to Christ. He didn't correct it. He said, yeah, I know. But the reference point is different than all the other verses that say the third day. The third day is the day that he rose. It's fine. It is. This is the coolest thing. So I've had a lot of fun with this. So I just wanted to, I wanted to mention it because this is my favorite day, Better Wednesday. And there shouldn't be any confusion on this. And if you are confused, it's because you don't have one of these. Because you got to have it written down so you can follow the 24-hour periods. And you can tie in all the references. And then you'll see, it really does. It folds out and there's no real mystery to it at all. It just rolls right out. And then hopefully what you can do is help me add to it as we go forward. So aren't you glad that God gave us the word? He didn't make it easy sometimes. But this one he did. He said, how could they mess this one up? 1, 2, 3. We did. And we follow our vain traditions, and it's just kind of frustrating. And I understand. This is what we do. It's like Christmas. It's the wrong time, but we do it anyway. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. But this 3 days thing is a big deal because you literally gave up creation, the week of creation, if you give up on the 3 days and three nights that Christ was in the ground. You really do because it's the same terminology. So there you have a brief overview of Good Friday. It's okay. Better Wednesday. Much better. All right? Anything? Everybody duly confused? Hopefully not. Like I said, if you're interested, I do have the chart, and we can make more copies and such. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much that you have given us your word. And more importantly, you fulfilled every jot and every tittle. Everything that you said would happen has happened and will happen. And we rest on these things because we see them. This 3 days and three nights is so incredibly important. And you've laid it all out for us, and we just thank you that we have this because it supports the 3 days or the 6 days of creation. And also, we see the fulfillment of the picture, the Passover lamb, of what you accomplished at the cross. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for this season to remember. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us and help us to just keep you in our minds, keep you in our forethought, now especially as we celebrate soon the resurrection, which is where our hope is. And we can't wait to see you face to face. In Christ's name.